Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, a very, very heavy, heavy
rotation. Location of your emergency.
My girlfriend is drunk.
The minority party's demagoguery and demagoguing
charged with one count of aggravated murder.
And he pulled his pants down?
Yabber. Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Radio 4, Patriots by Patriots. And we welcome you to this radio show that goes where no other talk show can go. If you don't believe me, just ask all those other guys. And our number is our Patriot line number, 877-876-7445, 877. I almost did a Serene Branson there, and I don't mean to be funny, you know.
Yeah, you just screwed it up.
I didn't screw anything up, but I almost went 7-4, and I forgot. And God bless her little heart, she's better. The number is 877. Can't remember our phone number. 877-876-7445. Anyway, good evening and welcome to our program. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And a bunch of stuff tonight, not all of it in the headlines, but all of it extremely important to the very survival of our country. Not that I see the country going away anytime soon, like some of our more panicked colleagues, but I do see these little moments, these milestones, these, if you will, turns in the road that we must negotiate if our country is to proceed. This evening on our program, we're going to be talking with David G. Hall, who is our Vice President of Syndication. The Phil Hendry Show is joining with other businesses in a national effort at consulting with and providing to our schools and any other educational effort or entity, materials, monies, whatever they need to continue the education of our kids. And some of that is just good, flat, sit down, and let's talk it out and give you some advice on what it is you can do. And David G. Hall just came back from one of those meetings today. We're going to talk to David about that. And then later on in the program, we have Larry Grover to discuss the House defunding Planned Parenthood. And that is a step toward defunding Planned Parenthood, which some people consider to be the number one provider of abortions in America. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, our Patriot line, and our affiliate spotlight tonight on WQRT 1160 AM in Cincinnati and WWJB in Brooksville, Florida, 1450 AM, and our website is philhendryshow.com. Our website is an essential part of the Phil Hendry Show because it is there that you can watch live streaming video of the show. It is there that you can hear the archives of our radio show going back hundreds of hours. No. Tens of hours. No, I'm afraid not. Thousands of hours. Thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of great archived. And I'm not just talking about radio. I'm talking about great radio. We also have our merchandise shop for our best of CDs. Our shot glass is in. And, of course, we'll have more merchandise available as the summer months proceed. So as we proceed this evening, we're going to get David G. Hall on the line, who, as I mentioned, was in San Francisco today. And we're going to talk a little bit with David, the VP of syndication for our show. And, David, you're a broadcaster meeting exclusively with educators or with other people in business?
No, there were other people, Bill, in the business realm and the business spheres there. And a lot of people that I knew from broadcasting as well, but people from all over the business community talking with teachers. These are mostly the lower grade teachers, high school, middle school, and elementary school teachers.
What is one of the problems they were telling you that, I know earlier in the week we talked about truancy?
Well, truancy is a very, very big problem with a lot of the public schools. In California, the Anaheim Union High School District is actually now participating in a pilot program that I was listening to some of the people talking about. Truancy is a big problem. Kids skipping class, we recognize that that's a rite of passage for young teenagers, but we need to obviously address that because kids have got to be in school. And as you were talking on the air the other day, we don't need Magic Johnson calling them up. And
you know. Yeah, that was, well, they were talking about celebrities calling the kids and saying good morning. You know.
Yeah, we don't need that. I love Magic Johnson, and I obviously he's a businessman, he's an athlete, and he's all of the great things that we want our young people to be. But we don't need him, not because there's anything wrong with Magic Johnson, but to have a celebrity have to call up and remind your kid to get out of bed. is I think an invasion of our rights as citizens. We have now somebody, an external entity, who is calling up and telling us what we're supposed to do with our kids, get them out of bed, and so on and so forth. So no, we're not going to play that. And we told them that the GPS that has been introduced at Anaheim.
Now tell me about the GPS tracking, because this is something where it is a voluntary program. You folks that are listening at home, listen to this. Any students in the 7th or 8th grades who have four or more unexcused absences over the course of a school year can be put into the Anaheim GPS program, Global Positioning System Technology. This will be assigned. They are assigned a GPS tracking device about the size of a cell phone. They need to use it regularly. And what do they have to do with this?
Well, in the morning on school days, the students will get an automated phone call reminding them that they need to get to school on time. I guess that's part of that. I'm not in favor of that, and a lot of the people that I talked with thought it was a little bit of a gimmick to have Magic Johnson or to have, Charlie Sheen or anybody call up the young people, and especially a guy like Sheen. I've got nothing against Charlie Sheen, but I don't think he's the guy that calls your kid up to remind him to go to school. You know?
No, I agree with you, absolutely.
So, then five times a day, they're required to enter a code that tracks their locations. The problem with this, Phil, is it doesn't go. I think it's an invasion of privacy, and it is an invasion of parental rights to have this child where you carry this thing around with him. It's a cell phone that he has to grab and answer almost as if he is someone's, carry, as we used to say, Phil, you and I were joking, like to carry it somebody's slop jars,
It seems a little subservient.
It seems subservient, and it also, I don't like the idea of my child, and I don't think anybody would like the idea of their child, having to answer the ring of the bell like a Pavlovian dog, and yes, sir, no, sir, I do want them to go to school, and I do want them to attend classes. So that's when we came up. Florian is one of our friends, Bill Florian, who runs, he owns three radio stations in Colorado, and to come up with what we've called the Florian idea, but it's been used before, and that is GPS tracking that you can place on the body of the child. They are not humiliated with the ringing of a phone and having to answer it, and they look like someone's dog. They are simply tracked, and you can manipulate slightly their actions with this device.
Now, what is the tracking device? It's not a cell phone, right?
It's not a cell phone. It is a very, very small implement that is put under the skin of the wrist, or it is very, very tiny, almost a pea-sized, not pea-sized, but circular or sphere-like, like a very, very small BB that is placed under the neck, in the neck, a little bit under the skull. What that does is simply send the message that where the young person is. And
now, you're talking about surgery. Is it major surgery?
No. It's minor surgery. It's outpatient minor surgery. It takes about 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes to put this tracking device. The one that goes under the skull is a little different. That is one that can emanate a signal when the young person, and again, we're on a GPS tracking system here. When the young person goes outside of a specific area or goes beyond a specific boundary, it is a vibration. It's not pain, but it's a vibration that is felt on the left side of the face. And Well, let me tell you something. We do not want our young people subjected to some kind of an Orwellian state where ring, 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 and they reach down and they pull out the phone like good little robots.
But you're talking about putting into their bodies tracking devices, and
that's correct.
And one of which goes under the skull and can cause. What is this vibration? What does that emanate from?
It's an electromagnetic pulse that originates with those that are tracking the GPS. This is all a part of the school district. Okay, These are mothers. These are volunteers. These are grandfathers. These are not, you know, these are not police officers or prison wardens that are sitting there waiting to get their jollies. There's nothing painful about it. What you do, you see the GPS tracking device go beyond this area, and then you can hit this device, and you can send out this electromagnetic pulse, which will vibrate the, as I said, the skin on the left side of the head, and that reminds the student that they've gone beyond.
All right, now let me ask you this, because people are going to be asking this question. I agree with you. I do not want the government tracking my child. I don't want anybody in any official capacity reminding my kid of anything. That's my job. But so why would I want this electromagnetic device?
I'll tell you why. Because you are not humiliating your child by making them respond to a bell like a dog. That's number one. The child this is a child, understand, Phil, underage. So we're dealing with a very precious commodity, our children.
Agreed.
All right. We want them to be safe. We don't want to humiliate them into having to answer the ringing bell of a cell phone like they're some kind of a laboratory, monkey or something. So this tracks them. Now,
all right, what about this BB?
I was going to get to that. Okay, so what that is called, you call it a BB. It's simply an electromagnetic, they call it therapeutic, Phil, in the business. But it's simply a pulsing tracker. Now, that is also, we think, far better for the child. Because if you make a mistake in life, you will have to bear the consequences. If you make a mistake and you go beyond the area of containment where you're supposed to be, you will bear the consequences of this electromagnetic pulse going off, and you will bear the consequences of having, the left side of your face heat up a little bit and vibrate a little bit.
I know you and I are on the same page when it comes to keeping the government out of our homes and off of our backs. I don't see how this does that.
It does do that, and I just explained to you why it does do that, because you're not having the kid answer the bell like a dog, and as far as this GPS tracker goes, it's a physical reminder to the child you're going beyond your allotted area.
And you talked about that today. Let me ask you one more question. Our number, by the way, folks, is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. What do you think of GPS trackers? Some kind of...
No, the GPS tracker is different from just that device that goes in the wrist.
All right, the device in the wrist simply tells us where the child is.
That is correct. The one that I like, and I think a lot of people that I talk to today like, is that GPS tracker, that device that goes under the skull that can send out an electromagnetic signal that sort of, numbs the left side of the face. It's a physical sensation.
That's the one that bothers me,
But yeah, but why would it bother you? It eliminates Big Brother telling the kid, better answer that phone, boy. We don't want our children.
I understand that, but now what we have is it's almost a secretive.
No, that's secretive. You know that your child has that in his wrist. Now, one of the problems we're having with truancy, Phil, it's either that or it is going back to the phone calls from Magic Johnson, but they're going to do one or the other. We can't allow truancy to continue. The government is going to step in, so we have to be proactive as business people and say, all right, Big Brother, you can stay where you are. We don't need your help. We don't need you messing more things up. We'll take it from here. And we can contract with these different companies that make these devices, have them put into the bodies of our children. We decide when we activate the GPS trackers, and there's no cop. These are all friends and neighbors.
If I've got a friend and a neighbor sitting there, and they're looking at the GPS tracker on my kid, and they decide to push the button if my kid goes too far beyond, where they're supposed to be.
Well, it's either that or you've got a cop, and I say this with the greatest of respect to our police. They're wonderful guys. Some of them are well, I shouldn't say anything. Some of them are a little sadistic. And
All right, hold the line here. Our number is 877-876-7445 as we talk with David G. Hall about tracking students who are truant. Is it time to use GPS tracking devices? We don't want celebrities calling them. We don't want the school calling them. Do we put GPS tracking devices literally into the bodies of our children? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. David, you were saying about Wisconsin?
Yeah, I watch what's going on in Wisconsin on my television set, and I look at these individuals, irresponsible. They think they're in the middle of Berkeley 1965. They have no idea what it is they're doing. And I wonder how many of these people, when they were in high school, how many of them attended class? How many of them were responsible young people with responsible parents? You look at Wisconsin, and you're looking at mobs of individuals, in my opinion, who had no parental supervision, who had absolutely no responsible supervision. And now...
Are you talking about the high school kids?
No, I'm talking about the adult, the teachers and the college students and the others that are in Wisconsin behaving as animals. And had they had some parental supervision...
All right, well, David, we're talking with you here this evening about what is called the Kid Tracker. It's from Bakian Technologies, specifically the one you're talking about?
That's correct. I talked to Bob Bakian, who's developed this, but there's a couple of other companies.
Now, so I'm clear, and then we'll get to some phone calls. This goes under the skin, either in the wrist or behind the, on the neck, behind the head, underneath the skull?
That is the tracker. That is the... GPS tracker that is able to, we can emit if the device can emit electromagnetic pulse, which can create the sensation of heat and vibration in the face, and that makes the kid turn and go the other way if they go beyond their allotted area. I think this is a far better solution than having a bell ring on a cell phone so that your child, my child, the people listening out there, suddenly our children are turned into nothing more than laboratory rats that respond to stimulus. No, not me.
All right, our number is, and I know you have a daughter, and my kids are out of school now, thank goodness. What a world we're living in. 877-876-7445 with David G. Hall on the Kid Tracker. Here is Michael in Sarasota, Florida, listening on WTMY. Go ahead, Michael, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, Phil, first of all, great, great show. David,
thank you.
Really, really admire your thought process, but as one who works with truancy children, and has raised four children, your point of view is simply going to continue to take our society down the wrong path. You're going to dehumanize our children. You're going to...
This is going against that.
You're going to negate the role that parents play, that schools play, that social workers play, and it's just
we're going against that.
End of our society.
What do you mean you work with truancy children? What does that mean?
I do volunteer work, sir, and help children who have had troubled problems, whether they've been 12-year-olds, high school, college, and I work with them and help them and mentor them,
own. That's not what you said, though. You said you work with truancy children. What does that mean?
Well, children that have had trouble. I mean, there's all specific...
You don't even know what the word means. This is what I'm talking about. This guy doesn't even know what the word means.
David, we're talking, Michael, truancy means not attending school. Is that what you were implying? Saying troubled kids.
Part of the problem that children have is not attending school, but it's more than not attending school.
Well, what do you mean you work with them? Where do you work with them? See, we're not looking for volunteers here, Michael. We're looking at a real problem with kids not going to school. And the kids are not going to school because they don't have any parental supervision. And the parents obviously have to step up. But until they do that, I don't want Uncle Sam doing it.
I don't agree with you, it's not Uncle Sam.
Forgive me, Michael, but I don't want you to do it either. You know, I mean, I want to be able to keep track of my own kid my own way. And this tracker, the vibrating device that can put an electromagnetic bolt through his head, literally, can do that.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll be back with David G. Hall on the Phil Henry Show.
I mean, what is that guy doing?
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
That's the Patriot Hotline here, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall is with us as we talk about GPS trackers for kids that are truants, that means not in school, and GPS trackers for kids that may either be chronically truant, or, you know, occasionally, but nonetheless, they've made their way into the sights of the school. As parents, David, you were talking about us buying or purchasing for ourselves these GPS chips that we can put in the wrists of the kids, or one that can be put under the skull that can actually influence movement.
That is correct, yes. You send out a vibration, and it influences, using very slight discomfort, where the kid's going to go. And to the guy that was talking about, see, truant means a kid that doesn't go to school. We got to educate our parents, otherwise Big Brother's going to do the same thing, because look what's going on in Wisconsin right now. We've got to tell our parents, look what these teachers are doing, look what these schools are doing. And now what they want to do is give your kid some kind of a device that will ring, and your child will respond to his teacher like a laboratory dog. And we don't want that to happen.
All right, 877-876-7445 on the Phil Henry Show. Here is George in Hesperia. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Phil, not just GPS tracking devices. What they're not telling you is medically, these things have been found to cause cancerous-type growths. They've experimented with them, trying to control animals or to track people's personal animals. And the results have been, medically, there are problems with...
Wrong. No. No, it's not conclusive. Not conclusive at all.
No, it's not.
If that's your only fear.
Neither is cell phone technology that is found to cause cancerous growths in your next to your brain when you overdo this.
Well, you know, that's the stuff of science fiction, sir, with all due respect. We don't buy into that. I think that you'll find there's GPS tracking for all kinds of situations. We do use it for pets. We do use it for small children, and I would ask you, sir, have you been to a doctor? What is your fear?
No, I wouldn't use one of these on my animal, much less my child. But I just don't.
You
medically hurt them.
No, I don't think you should worry or imagine yourself to be being experimented with by the government. Is that what you're worried about?
Well, no, I'm worried about cancerous growths next to my brain.
Cancer is what he's talking
about. No, there's not going to be any cancer. Yeah, all right, you go ahead, because thank you very much, sir, but I think what that gentleman's problem is, and you know as well as I do, we have some people who are, I better not say. I was going to say schizophrenic, and they think the government's feeding them, you know, information through their heads.
Well, look, I mean, that's what you're, you know, I agree with you, David. I don't want the government telling us what to do with our kids. But the idea that you're putting a tracking device in the skin, how is that not Big Brother?
That is not Big Brother. That is a company that I have known for a long time, Phil. I've known Bob Bakian for a long time. He's not a government employee. I've known him for a long time. And I invested in his company, and you can say to me, well, that's why you're pushing this technology. No, that's not why I'm pushing this technology. I think that's jumping to the usual typical conclusion. I am pushing this technology so that you and I as parents can control what happens to our kids, and the government doesn't. If you ask me, do I have stock in this company?
Which is what I was going to ask you, yeah.
Yes, I do have stock in the company. and you can even go so far as to ask me, well, I guess if we sell a lot of these, you're going to make money. Yes, I am. But is it wrong to make money on something you believe in? And that's why I think it's imperative for us to understand the government is doing to our children what you see on TV in Wisconsin right now. And that is basically academic rape. I don't know about you. I don't enjoy watching that. And it won't happen to my kids. I'm not going to have the government handing out bells, handing out devices whereby they can pull a string and my young person turns around and there's the government watchman telling them where to go and what to do. I'd rather have technology that I can control that is put into the skull of my child or under his skin.
And that you have a piece of the money of. You know.
Well, again, you want to be cynical.
Well, I'm not being cynical. Let's be clear here, because what you're advocating, and if I'm wrong, I'll ask my audience to, you know, well, tell me I'm wrong. 877-876-7445. If what you are proposing is far less onerous, far less of a control than what the government's doing, which is handing out little cell phones to kids and telling them to, you know, calling them and reminding them you got to be to school. If what you're saying is far less of an onerous thing, then I don't think I'd be talking to you. But I don't think I'd be talking to you this way. But when you're talking about putting a device under the skin, and also when you're talking about putting a device under the skin that gives off an electromagnetic pulse
that heats the finger, what it does is
maybe I don't understand what that is.
No, you don't understand. What that does, and this is the device that we frankly feel is better than the one on the wrist, it goes under the skull, it emanates an electromagnetic pulse that heats and creates a sort of a prickling sensation in the face that continues to heat up until the student turns and goes back in the right direction.
And what if they don't?
Well, that's not going to be the case. That's not going to be the case. Nobody's going to keep on walking with this sensation.
Well, what if they don't? Does it get worse?
No, it does not get worse. It stays. It is what it is, which is an ever-increasing heat and a very uncomfortable neurological event until you reach that point where you are, the student is, I should say, they're a little bit incapacitated, but nothing worse than that.
Well, see, this is getting worse and worse the more you talk about it.
No, the more you talk about it, Phil, the more you talk about it, it gets worse. I'm talking to parents out there right now.
No, before you do that, if I want to track my child, a truant, okay?
Yes.
And I want to use an electromagnetic device or a GPS tracking device, and I use that electromagnetic device or GPS tracking device, and one of the things that it does is create discomfort in the child if that child goes beyond a certain area. I don't think I want to do that.
What you want to do is hand over the control to the federal government, to the Ministry of Fear. Is that what you want to do?
No, I do not want to do that either, but I...
Well, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. Either the government, the school district, starts to tell your kid when and how and what, or we take back our children and we take back our society. And
well, taking back our society to me, you just said something about how, you know, if the kid keeps walking...
You're still on this GPS, you're on the kid tracker.
Yeah, I'm on the kid tracker. Why would I not be on that? To me, that sounds like a very dangerous device.
What happens is the kid walks beyond the area that he's supposed to be in, okay?
Okay.
I don't know why his face keeps heating up, and the sensation of an electromagnetic vibration continues to get more pronounced until the worst thing that happens is what happened to that young lady, Serene Branson. You begin to blather. You sound like an idiot. Okay, you're following me, right?
Well, no, I'm not following you.
Why not?
I don't understand that at all. And I you see, this is a dangerous device, is what you're telling me.
No, it is not a dangerous. Boy, I got to tell you, that's... You know,
the fact that you own stock?
I own some stock, and I think it's wrong of you to come on this program and say it's dangerous knowing that I own stock. And
no, David, I didn't say that because you own stock. I said...
No, knowing that I own stock.
Well, you know, if I knew it, I knew it. If I didn't, I didn't. But I'm telling you, I cannot sit here and talk about this to my audience and not get all of the facts out. You're telling me now that this thing will heat up the skin. It causes an electromagnetic sensation of some kind until finally an individual's, somehow their motor skills are gone and they can't speak.
Yes, that's right. And what happens is a student, if they're, unless they're a complete idiot, and I say that with the greatest of respect, they've already turned around and gone back. They haven't reached the point of complete, you know, speech shutdown. You know what we're calling non-communicated state, which is you can't communicate to any human being.
This is, to my way of thinking, David. Thank you, and hang on. I believe that this sounds like a very, very dangerous device. I don't want my kids being told, you know, necessarily morning, noon, and night what to do by the federal government, but putting a GPS tracking device on them that can cause speech failure, that can cause the face to heat up, electromagnetic shock, not me. 877-876-7445 for your calls for David G. Hall. Plus, still to come tonight, Larry Grover on the GOP-led House defunding of Planned Parenthood. Here on Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, right wing, Phil Hendry.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL.
The other people.
That's 877-876-7445.
When did you invest?
At the turn of around 1999, 2000.
We're with David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication, who is talking about the, just came back from the roundtable between business and educators, and we're discussing truancy. The solution by the school districts is to give the kid a cell phone that they have to be answering, some kind of a device that also tracks them. The solution offered by David and some other business people is GPS tracking chips, one of which would actually control behavior, and that's the part that and you are saying that this has little to do with Big Brother, that it's a solution from the Big Brother approach of government, and that's a hard one for me to fathom. Let's get to a phone call, though. 877-876-7445. Terry in Hillsboro, Oregon. Go ahead, Terry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. This guy, what's his name, David? Is he some kind of a wacko or what? I mean, planting a GPS chip in a kid's skull? I mean, when are we going to stop having the government control our lives?
The government's not controlling your life. It's not the government. Parents do this, so the government doesn't. This is a way of controlling where our kids are. We've got truant kids, and we need to know where they are. Now, I don't know if you have any children, but for those of us who do, we want to make sure.
I have five children. I have five grandchildren. And
okay, don't you want to know where they are? You don't want them...
My kids know where my grandchildren are, and if they're not where they're supposed to be, they get punished. They get grounded. They get their cell phone taken away from them.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, sir. Only this is an evolution for parents, where you are able to put a chip just inside under the child's skull so that when they go where they're not supposed to go, the parent or a neighbor can control the electromagnetic pulse.
That's crazy.
You understand what I'm saying?
You don't put
stuff like that
in people's bodies. I mean, they're not a dog with a microchip. They're human beings.
No, they're not dogs. That's how the government wants to treat your child.
Well, but the part that I don't like here is that the chip, this kid tracker, emanates some kind of a signal that causes discomfort.
Yeah, well, let me ask Terry. Wouldn't you spank a child if the child did something wrong? This is less than a spanking. This is simply heating up the skin under the eyes and on the extremities so that the child knows they've gone too far.
Yeah, but you just said that if they go ahead, Terry. I apologize.
I didn't say anything. I said if they go too far, they can't speak.
Too far away, then he loses his control to speak. He loses his control to to function properly. And then what happens? Some pervert scoops them up off the street and takes them where and does what? You know, it's the parents' responsibility.
Well, you know, you're making a leap between a kid not being able to speak, therefore a pervert. What is that? I mean, what kid wants to go through that discomfort? None. They will turn around and go back to where they're supposed to be.
That's
ridiculous.
You would put one of these in your kids' head? Is that what you're saying?
Sir, let me tell you, I own stock in the company.
Well, that's another thing that we haven't even gotten into. You own stock in the company.
A lot of foolish people have bought stock in companies that went under. Now, if you're going to be that foolish to invest your hard-earned money in a harebrained idea like this, you deserve to lose your money.
Harebrained?
Yeah, harebrained. You are. I think you're harebrained.
I want to ask you, you've got 5 children, 5 grandchildren, okay? I agree with you, Terry. I agree with you that I want the government out of my life. I want it out of my pockets. I certainly don't want them messing around with my kids. So what do? I need to keep track of that kid so the government doesn't do it for me. You can say to the government, you're going to keep...
The government's not going to give you a cell phone. Who's going to pay for the cell phones the school district wants to give
you? We have a truancy problem, and that's what the solution is now. You're going to pay for it. Me, I'm going to pay for it.
No, I'm not going to pay for it. And any
that's what they're telling you going to do.
Any elected official who tries to do that, I'm going to vote him out of office.
Well, until such time, they're going to be... You talk about being treated like a dog. Your kid has to carry a cell phone, and every time the bell rings, your child, my child, they've got to salivate and wag their tail like a dog in a laboratory. Not me.
Oh, come on. In my opinion, that's better than having a kid...
I think you've been reading too many science fiction novels, dude. I'm 61 years old.
Too many comic books. I'm reading too many comic books. Is that it? How do you like that? That hurts.
Well, it does.
Sorry.
It sounds
sometimes the truth hurts.
All right, brother. Thank you for your call, Terry. It does sound like it. Here is William in Cape Cod. Well, you're talking about a device under the skull. William, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I have one of these in my backyard. It's for my dog. It's an invisible fence. It can only go so far. This guy's office rocker. What kind of city council town meeting or school board is going to okay this? And you notice he's dropping the thing. It's a great stock. Why don't we all buy it? I don't know, Phil. I only turned in lately. But did he give the number?
Let me ask you something. What do you do if your kids don't show up for school? Do you let the government take over and track your kid down and punish your kid? Or do you want to control that yourself? Because the government's going to do it if you don't. This device... Simply
I'll be expecting a spam email from you about buying stock in this company. And I'm sure you'll be giving Phil the number. Give me the 1-800 number, Phil. Have everybody invest in my thing. Tell everybody else, don't even waste your time.
No, sir, I don't have any such number. I am simply saying that this is a device that will help you. What about kids that are kidnapped? What about kids that are lost that way? How are you going to find them then? You'll come running to me and ask for one of these if your kid gets stolen and you want suddenly a way to track the child. This doesn't...
I don't know if you're a parent, but you're not a parent if you're doing that to your child. Let me tell you
something. Let me ask you something, David. If a child is...
If you can't keep your kid to go to school and get them there...
If a child is kidnapped and they have that device, that tracker under the skull, the further the kid gets taken, oh, my God.
Oh, so you're laughing.
The vet did one to my dog. That's what I'm worried about. My children wouldn't
We're not talking about what dog... No, what they do to a dog is they ring a bell like Pavlov's dogs, and the dog says, I'm not doing that to your kid. You put the chip in your kid's head, and then their eyes heat up. Thank
you very much, William, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Did you have a demonstration of this?
Yeah, we did, and we had a young man. We have a recording of that. Jerry is here, who's from the company. They had a recording of this young man who was... let's just go ahead and play this recording. This is a young man who has the chip that is under the skull. It's actually this BB that's under the skull, Phil. The young man going to a high school in the Los Angeles area. And the guy that I just talked to with all of his one-liners and his little cuties that he got in, you listen to this, pal, and tell me that you won't be running for the Yellow Pages looking for my number. Here is that tape recording, Phil, and Jerry, whenever you're ready. I don't know. What? No.
I don't want to. I'm just not going to go to school today, man. They can stick it. I don't want to go to school, and no one can make me do it. Huh? Yeah, I'll see you at your sister's. Billy, you okay? You heard that, Phil, and that was a young man.
What was that?
You want me to play it again?
I heard an electro charge of some kind.
That's the bolt of electricity that will go through the kid's skull, but you can't hear it or see it. That's why I dummied up, you know, the sound of it.
David.
Whoa. What's with the, David? So you think I'm not telling the truth?
No, I think what you've done, just like the gentleman said, you've invested in something that, you know, thanks very much.
You hung up on him again.
I know I hung up on him again. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Joining us next is Larry Grover to discuss the GOP, the GOP-led defunding of Planned Parenthood. Whoa-ho! Big, big move. We'll talk about it next hour on the world-famous Radio for Patriots by Patriots Phil Henry Show.
Henry.
I'm put in school.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
That's my girlfriend.
I just want to tell you a little bit about what it's like to not have Planned Parenthood.
52 years we've been out here, and now all of a sudden, Governor Scott Walker wants to say...
a very, very heavy dirtation.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
The Constitution doesn't have a preamble.
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. It's radio for patriots, by patriots, right-wing radio. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. No. Truth is our bitch. And our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. The GOP in the House of Representatives defunds Planned Parenthood. And joining us this hour to discuss this is Larry Grover, 877-876-7445. Our website is philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Head on over there and pick up our brand-new Legacy Shot Glass. It's our official shot glass. Also, a whole host of our best-of Legacy CDs are there for you. And, of course, we have our nightly video cast, access to me via email. See, we're on Facebook, but I never talk to people on Facebook. We do occasionally communicate on Twitter, but the email communication is with me strictly through our website. So if you want to write me, that's where you go. What else, man? What else? Oh, blogs, all kinds of stuff. And our archives, right, bud?
Yeah, I've got a lot.
Thousands of hours of archives at philhenryshow.com. So Larry Grover is going to join us from Conservatives of Kern County here on our Newsmaker line. Remember, our number is 877-876-7445. Larry's out at Pinnacle Peak out there. Man, are you at the steakhouse?
As a matter of fact, I am, Phil. We just got done with dinner, and I'm very grateful to be on your program this evening and talk about this.
Larry, I'm going to play some audio from Representative Gwen Moore and Representative Todd Rokita, and then we'll talk to you about this. First off, here is Gwen Moore today, the representative from Wisconsin. She spoke out against the bill to defund Planned Parenthood last night.
I just want to tell you a little bit about what it's like to not have Planned Parenthood. You have to give your kids ramen noodles at the end of the month to fill up their little bellies so that they won't cry. You have to give them mayonnaise sandwiches. They get very few fresh fruits and vegetables because they're expensive. It subjects children to low educational attainment because of the ravages of poverty. You know, one of the biggest problems that school districts have in educating some of these poor black children who are unplanned is that they're mobile. They're constantly moving because they can't pay the rent.
Representative Todd Rokita from Indiana spoke out in support of defunding Planned Parenthood.
The minority party's demagoguery and demagoguing language about some kind of war on women is nothing but laughable. Plenty of family planning services outside of Planned Parenthood exist to help families seeking direction, care, and counsel. Those ethically sound places and services deserve a portion of funds to continue their much-needed and well-respected services. But our nation's largest provider of abortions isn't one of them. No American who is against abortion should be required to help pay for it.
Okay, Larry, that was Rokita.
I was struck by Gwen Moore. I didn't know they were called ramen noodles. I always thought they were top ramen, but shows you what I know. Also, I was struck by Gwen Moore talking about black children. She used the word black children in the harshest of a very, very harsh manner in which that word emanated from her. I can't imagine any white congressman being able to say that and getting away with it.
All right. Well let's, I mean, you know, the people are going to talk the way they talk. And that was Rokita there, and he's talking about Planned Parenthood losing money and the worthwhile federal money going to other places. But my feeling is the following. People are not going to be denied the abortion services, any kind of a prenatal service, any kind of procedure that a woman wants, she can get throughout this country in a variety of clinics and hospitals, and even get it at Planned Parenthood. It just is that the federals are not going to pay for it anymore.
Well, that's the point. That is the point. And I agree with the federal government not continually being this large nipple with the mother's milk of money going to every conceivable kind of entity, and it always seems to be going to some place or something that the American people are very much divided on. But I've got to say one thing, and I never thought you'd ever hear me say something in defense of Planned Parenthood. I want to tell you and your audience, you know, Phil, and I want your audience to know that I am a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. We have been conservatives at Kern County before there was a Tea Party. We have been conservatives at Kern County before there was a Pat Buchanan, before there was a Lindsey Graham, before there was a Newt Gingrich. We've been conservatives before Ronald Reagan was president. So I don't need to trot my conservative credentials out to anyone. So that's why I want to say this, and I want to be clear. What I worry about, Phil, in defunding Planned Parenthood, which I know you're in favor of, correct?
I am in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood so that the government is not the one that keeps them alive.
Exactly. But here's the thing that I am worried about. When you tell a woman that she can't go to Planned Parenthood for this abortion service that she needs, she's going to have the excuse to go into these areas of our country. And you've heard the terms back alley and so on and so forth. I don't know if it's that bad. I don't know if, in other words, it's a back alley so much as it is an unusual place. Women will begin to opt for the unusual or the exotic solution to their problem.
What do you mean exotic?
Well, I mean unusual. I mean that they're going to be visiting places and talking to people who will perform these abortions illegally. Now, who are those people? Research and investigations, not only by the Congress, but investigation by independent law enforcement tell us that these individuals that perform these abortions illegally, many of them are immigrants from the Caribbean. They bring with them a suspect and indecipherable kind of a religion, a voodoo-influenced religion, and by that I'm not talking about some putting pins in dolls, but I am talking about a decidedly non-Christian point of view. It is an animist, African-influenced, non-Christian view. So we are sending women with the defunding of Planned Parenthood into these neighborhoods. I'm trying to figure out a solution to this. Where's the compromise?
Well, the defunding of Planned Parenthood you're in favor of.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But how? Once we do that, and once we win that victory, if we win that victory, it's still got to get through the Senate of the United States, the United States Senate, then
how do we keep our women, our daughters, our wives from going off to these areas where these abortions are provided? See, I don't think a lot of guys look at it that way. I do. I've made it my business as a conservative to know every aspect of the abortion industry, and that's exactly what it is.
You know, I think the abortion issue is one part of this, though.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is, defunding Planned Parenthood is not going to make abortion illegal. All defunding Planned Parenthood will do is make it more difficult for some women who may not be able to afford it at a private clinic or elsewhere to get abortions. Then again, it may not. There may be clinics set up eventually using private monies that will enable women, poorer women, to get abortions. I think this issue is about economics. I think it's about the government pulling back dollars that it has traditionally been sinking into these different entities and making them pay for themselves.
Yeah, well, but the effect is different. The effect is different. If you take the money away from Planned Parenthood, women who want abortions are still going to seek them out, and they're going to seek them out in some of these so-called, and let me underline that, the so-called back alley, and it's not really back alley. It is more, as I mentioned, it is exotic. It is perhaps a house at the end of a street. It could be a shed or a shack outside of a southern hamlet. It is most likely being run by a Afro-Carib immigrant who has their hand in some sort of non-Christian and animist Afro-Carib influenced religion. And this is what I work.
So you're telling me your worry is that women who don't, not having access to abortions from Planned Parenthood, exposes women to
non-Christian influence, because the people they're going to go to for these abortions are people that are on the fringe of our society. They're these are people, Phil, that believe in pagan, if you will, type religions. They believe in the if you've studied anything about these Afro-Carib religions, they believe in the reanimation of the dead and so on and so forth. Very strange and frightening. And can you imagine your wife or your daughter not wanting to, they can't go to Planned Parenthood, they can't afford an abortion, and so they go into these areas and they won't tell you. All you know is your wife went off one day and disappeared down a mist-shrouded street, and a curtain of beads parted. A light shone for a moment, and your wife disappears into that nightmare of smoke and steam and coat hangers. And
oh, God.
That's right. That is exactly right. Yes, yes, it should sicken you, and it should frighten you.
So in other words, not having abortion available through Planned Parenthood means that women go to the back alleys, and the back alleys are these pagan, non-Christian, voodoo.
Absolutely. Ask women that have been there, okay? You got a lot of people that talk like they think they know what it is. They don't know. They don't know. We've done studies. We've seen and we've talked to women what that back alley is where they go. It's a coat hanger. It's a coat hanger and a lot of incense and a strange and in many ways a strange and wonderful world if you are interested in the study of those kinds of religions, but not if you're going there and you're asking someone, would you please take your sweater off that hanger because I need it for something. That, to me,
That's a horrible world that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
And it's a world that a lot of women lived in for a lot of years. You're saying they'll be relegated to that again.
They will be relegated to that again. And it's not just the coat hanger that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people that will perform the abortion. These people are from another world. I mean, literally.
All right, Larry Grover is on the line, a guy who is anti-abortion all the way. But in this instance, He is saying that Planned Parenthood actually keeps women from going to the back alley voodoo or Afro-Carib abortionist who is non-Christian, believes in some kind of magic, and otherwise influences women and young women along those paths. It's a very strange, and yeah, he's right. It's an area that that hasn't been looked at. Our number, 877-876-7445. Your call's next for our guest, Larry Grover. 877-876-7445. Next hour, of course, is the news hour of Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Because I don't know what that means.
Going Vera Drake.
What does going Vera? We're back here with Larry Grover, our number 877-876-7445. We're going to talk a little bit more about abortions. You do not support abortion, Larry, but you would prefer it stay with Planned Parenthood rather than send women off into the these back alleys.
Well, there is an alternative, and the alternative is to provide tax credits to these private clinics so that these abortions are absolutely free, but they are performed in a Christian or a Judeo-Christian surrounding, and they are not performed while the woman is laying on a kitchen table in an area of town or of a part of the country where Christianity has long since vanished. And has been given over to, if you ever saw Pumpkinhead,
Pumpkinhead was a what?
That was a movie about what I'm talking about. It was a voodoo, and this is where our women are going to go to end their pregnancies, going off to some area of hell. And, I personally would rather see abortion continue at Planned Parenthood. But, however, we do have the option. We do have this option. Tax credits for private clinics.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I got to ask you how that works, because if we're stopping the funding of Planned Parenthood, then tax credits for private clinics doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Mike in Westwood, Massachusetts, listening on WTKK. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I completely agree that there should be tax credits for a private clinic, but I'd like to know where these African Kareem clinics are. I've read a lot of surveys on back alley abortions, and it's mostly out of practice male white doctors performing in their household, maybe unethically, but still professionally performing abortions. I have not read a lot about these African Kareem crazy voodoo abortionists, and I'd like to know where you heard.
But I am saying that you've got what we published a pamphlet called Out of the Vera Drake World. You know Vera Drake? Vera Drake was a woman that was a little washerwoman. She cleaned houses, but if she heard that someone in the house was pregnant, she brought along her little kit. And she was a strange-looking little red-headed woman with a hat and her little scarf, and she'd come in and commit murder. And I guess she thought she was doing it.
Who's this?
Vera Drake.
And this was in America, or?
It was in England, but the fact is, she thought she was doing these women a favor by coming in and performing these abortions while she also was washing the windows and vacuuming the rug, if you can believe this. Well, she was an oddball. She was way out there. There wasn't a thing Christian about. Is this what we want? We want our daughters to be looking at something.
We don't want our
like
daughters in these back alley places. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we don't want our daughters here, but this is a small minority. These are crazy tales, as you refer to Vera Drake. This is an out of the neighborhood tale, and there are not a lot of these places. These are the places
where
you hear of at night, but you don't see these places commonly. Commonly, back alley abortions are out of practice doctors.
You don't, and I don't. But we're not women, are we? No. The women see it when they go to get these abortions. They see some strange woman who is just off the boat from God knows where, Haiti, and she's brought with her a belief in a creed, spirits.
Well, the gentleman is making a point. Where are you getting
in your neighborhood or in the general vicinity?
The research that we've done is that in many parts of the country, in many of the areas, if a girl wants something, she wants to be taken care of that way, generally she's got to go to the back alley abortions like you were saying, Mike.
There's just as many white Christian doctors out there, out of practice, that are willing to help these women in Christian environments, maybe unethically, but still more professionally. I don't believe if your Christian wife wanted an abortion, that she would go to one of these crazy voodoo. She'd go to a white doctor or a Christian doctor.
What choice does she have? She doesn't know. She needs an abortion.
Well, I don't know if she would know very many people that perform voodoo abortions over a Christian doctor.
I believe her friends would refer to
a Christian doctor.
How do you know about her friends? You don't know. You think.
I have a wife that had an abortion, and she could not afford to go to Planned Parenthood. She did not have mass health. This is when she was a child. And she went to a doctor that her family knew, and he performed the abortion in their house.
He was a hardcore, devout
Christian, and it was not ethical.
How do you know he was a hardcore, devout Christian? He might have been a guy who was fallen away from the church. And dare I say, he could have been someone who embraced the devil. You don't know.
I still believe there's just as many devout Christians out there. I don't want to get in a yelling match over radio.
I just believe there's
as many devout Christian illegal abortions.
You want to believe it. You want to believe that, sir, but you don't know. And that's what I'm saying.
We don't know what we do. If we talk to our woman, if we find a way to communicate with our woman, we'll find out.
You communicated with your woman and found out that she went to some guy that embraces the demon.
I made my point. I don't want to get in a yelling match over radio.
But you found out that your wife went to a man that embraces the devil.
Well, no, he did not. All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, do you want to take care of that, Larry?
I don't think it's funny. I had a big effect. Someone ordered me a shrimp cocktail, and I don't think that's funny at all.
Where are you?
I told you I'm at a restaurant. I don't want to say that. The restaurant didn't do it. It was the people I'm sitting with.
Because we're talking about abortion.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what I want to do? I got to get up and walk around. I got to get some air now because that made me nauseous. Yeah.
You all right?
No, I'm not all right.
We're talking with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Very, very epic vote today in the Congress, in the House of Representatives. Actually, it was last night, Thursday night, that the House of Representatives voted to defund Planned Parenthood. Now, long way to go for that to actually become a reality. They've got to get it through the Senate. The likelihood of that is, you guys have heard enough so far to recognize while the House of Representatives went Republican, the Senate is still Democrat-controlled. So while the legislation has gone through the House, it may not make it through the Senate. Nonetheless, Planned Parenthood being defunded means that it doesn't get federal dollars, so it cannot subsidize poorer women having any of these services, these natal services, including abortions. And Larry, you are, first of all, I think we need to make this very clear, you're anti-abortion.
I am very anti-abortion. I have been since my high school years when I began to really investigate and I began to make a lot of these moral computations for myself, Phil. Roe v. Wade came about, and I saw what happened to young women who had abortions and what they went through. So I am anti-abortion all the way. I am pro-life all the way. But more than pro-life, I tell people, I'm anti-abortion. I don't play around with it. I don't fool around.
and I don't try to semantically round off the rough edges of this. I tell them I'm anti-abortion. I am pro-life, but anti-abortion. Now, you know, to say what I'm saying on your program tonight while being anti-abortion is difficult for me. It's very difficult for me. But I'm looking at the long-range repercussions. What point or what do we gain if we eliminate abortion, we eliminate subsidized legal abortion and subsidized abortion through Planned Parenthood, but we turn a generation of women into godless and soulless individuals? What do we gain, I ask you? And the answer to that question is we gain the Holocaust. You know, as Marcel Proust said, after me the deluge. And to quote the Bible, what does a man gain if he wins the world and loses his soul? That's what's happening.
All right, Larry, you're talking, and our number 877-876-7445, you're talking about women going to these voodoo doctors, these parlors, these back alley abortionists, and so on and so forth. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and the Vera Drake effect, you said, and the...
The Vera Drake effect and all of this. The solution, though, is what I want to talk about now, if I could.
But I want to get everybody up to speed. Vera Drake is a British woman?
A British woman who, in the early 1950s, went door-to-door with a bag of abortion implements, and if there was someone in the house that needed an abortion, she performed it while she was also cleaning the house. So, you know... This is a nightmare that I don't even want to, you know, I wake up in a sweat thinking about Vera Drake with her little red hair and her, I don't even want to, you know, if I saw Vera Drake, and I, you know, the woman's long dead, if I saw her, I would want to take a shovel, and I'd want to almost decapitate her. That's how scary the image of that woman is. So you have that non-Christian image. You have the non-Christian back alley butcher white man who's turned away from God. The Colonel Kurtz, if you will, the heart of darkness abortion doctor who has been turned into an animal by the very implements of the abortion trade. And then you have, and I don't want to hit this too hard, but you have these voodoo-influenced Afro-Carib women. And that doesn't even, we haven't even touched on the Koreans yet.
You've got a laundry list.
Yes, we do have a laundry list.
What is your solution to this? Because we have to...
Well, my solution...
Well, hold on. We've got to come up... We've got to give... If you're telling me that defunding Planned Parenthood sends a generation of women back to the back alley abortionist, the voodoo doctor, the Colonel Kurtz, who has been swallowed up by the heart... I mean, you're using a lot of terminology here, man, that is apocalyptic.
Well, it is apocalyptic. There's no point in getting rid of abortion if it turns the women of, if it turns our women, our wives, our and our daughters, if it turns them into soulless things. There's no point in it. What we have proposed and what I have asked of the Congress is that we bus women who are in need of an abortion, we bus them into Christian areas, Judeo-Christian areas. And they are bussed into approved Judeo-Christian areas with clergy, and it is there that if they want to make their godless decision to abort their child, at least they do it surrounded by God's own people and not surrounded by a soulless Asiatic.
You know, you're getting a little on the racial edge here, man.
No, I'm not getting racial. No.
Yes, you are. A soulless Asiatic.
Well, you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean, and you don't have to continue to characterize people racially, you know.
Well, that's where many of these soulless abortionists...
No, I don't want you to continue talking this way, if you don't mind, unless that's what you think. Unless you think the Asiatic is soulless.
No, I did not say that.
Okay, what do you mean?
What I mean is, if your wife or your daughter is going to get an abortion, most likely it will be from a soulless Asiatic. That's all I'm saying.
That doesn't sound any better.
Oh, really? Well, boy,
What are you doing? Are you auditioning me for an episode of what? Sons of Anarchy? What?
No.
Well, then what do you mean that doesn't sound any better? What do you want me to do? Make an adjustment?
No, I'm saying to you, if you will, Larry, I'm saying that you're characterizing them as soulless Asiatics, Afro-Carib voodoo, the white man who's the Heart of Darkness doctor. What is that?
You never read Heart of Darkness.
Yes, I did. So you're saying that these are doctors who lost all of their whiteness by giving abortions out, and they lost their Christian souls.
I've said enough. I want your audience to consider this, your conservative audience, and they're hearing this from a man who is a longstanding conservative, that I believe in the pro-life message with every fiber of my being, but I'll give it up like that if it means that keeping our daughters, our wives, our women, keeping them away from these godless areas of town where they give these back alley abortions and keeping them in the Judeo-Christian sections. Now, as I said, they can be bussed in. They can be bussed in with rabbis or clergy. What?
I'm trying to figure out what it looks like when you bus a bunch of women and then sitting in the front seat there is a rabbi. And
okay. So who's being racist now?
It's not racist.
Well, you're laughing about the rabbi is what you're doing. And
no, I'm not. I'm just saying it's a bizarre idea that we have to collect the women. And these are all women that want to be able to afford an abortion, but they can't get one at Planned Parenthood because the funding has been denied.
It's been defunded, yeah.
So in the meantime, we have these abortion clinics that are getting tax credits from the federal government.
That is correct.
Our number is 877-876-7445.
Well, Phil, you're acting as if you don't know what I'm talking about, and I think it's offensive to me. I've come on this program, and I want to talk about a way that our women can remain. We're trying to save our country. We're trying to save our country, and I want to talk about a way that our women can remain God-loving and God-fearing even after Planned Parenthood is defunded.
And as an anti-abortion guy, how does that work that they're still getting abortions?
What we've done is we've taken the federal government out of the abortion business. And we've also taken our women away from the godless, well, you don't want me to say.
No, I don't. 877-876-7445 is our number tonight. 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Getting rid of funding for Planned Parenthood means that women may be going back to godless and soulless back-alley abortionists. How do we keep them from doing that? Bust them into Christian areas of town with a rabbi or a preacher riding with them, and they have an abortion from a Christian clinic. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And final segment with Larry Grover. Next hour, we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour on this Friday night radio for Patriots by Patriots. I don't think that any of us disagree, Larry, with defunding Planned Parenthood. The money has got to stop going to these agencies.
I'm going to call it what it is. It's a social justice outfit. It's got nothing to do with anything other than Planned Parenthood could get their funding from a lot of places. But
that may be, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I think when you say you would rather the federal funding go back to Planned Parenthood than see women and girls go to back-alley abortionists, you paint a picture that almost sounds fantastical. Here is Michael in San Francisco listening on KNEW. Go ahead, Michael. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I'm a Christian.
Hi.
And, you know, I just feel like defunding, not using tax dollars is the first step. Because abortion is wrong and Roe v. Wade opened the door for it, it needs to be resisted every step of the way. I disagree with Larry's argument that you know, the idea is to keep funding them, to keep it clean and safe, and this fear. I work in the inner city, and I know that abortions target African American communities. It's near our African American community. They put them up by schools, and so since it's a Holocaust, I think it just needs to be resisted every step of the way. That's my comment.
I think that's a very compelling point that the young man is making, but we can't deny, Michael, the door that has been opened by this, because I would love to be able to say to you that these women are going to then somehow find the money, but you know that they won't. They'll wander into some area of town where you're going to have, I don't know what, some animist doctor, godless. And if you know about this,
well, we had a guy just talking not too long ago saying that a lot of these abortion doctors are legitimate doctors who are doing it on the side.
I wish that were the case. God, how I wish that were the case. It's not the case. These abortionists come from societies where they there's human sacrifice. There's cannibalism. I mean, we have to understand that while I join Michael in my resistance to abortion, why do I want to give my wife or my daughter over to a godless, soulless world of this kind of the flesh eaters? And you know.
Well, what do you think is going to happen, man, if they go to one of these clinics?
It's not even a clinic, Phil.
All right, these back alley abortionists.
Again, I would say to Michael, consider: do you want to give our women over to soullessness?
I feel like it's kind of hyping the minority of the problem. I think that the problem is in the hearts of the people of our nation.
Yeah.
And I think that there's the idea that we would have the clergy there and do it in a clean, sterile environment is just going to the other side. I feel like that's just, you're hyping the minority issue. I think that we need to just get a culture of life and keep resisting, and defunding is a beginning step. I don't believe this danger, like, oh, and these back, that's the argument from the other side. Oh, the back door, it's going to be so awful and all of this stuff. It's going to be so bad, and we need to make it clean and sterile. But you can't call murder clean and sterile. It's not good.
But here's
good
the thing. Here's the thing I want you to consider. You say it's a minority. I don't know. If they don't have the funding, now these women, how many women go there? Well, according to the statistics, Planned Parenthood received, they give the majority of low-income abortions. All right, now those women go where? Well, they can't go to a clinic unless we provide the tax credits. They go off, they wander off into some godless Hong Kong. And
will you please not character? Everything is Hong Kong with you, and...
Well, I'm trying to... Did you see, I want to ask the gentleman, did you see Blade Runner, sir? The movie Blade Runner, Michael?
Oh, okay. Even
did you see Blade Runner?
Blade Runner,
that's the abortion world I'm talking about, Blade Runner. A bunch of Spanglish, Hong Kong English, people eating noodles on the street while your wife's inside having her soul removed.
There's cases in the media right now, though, in our country, even with, I mean, there's places under investigation right now because it's a dark,
exactly.
It's committing darkness. So there's horrible things, like cats were walking through this one clinic eating, you know, there was baby parts in the refrigerator. They're investigating right now. I just heard this in the media.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so Larry, even with Planned Parenthood getting funding.
Well, yeah, but now it is that minority that Michael was talking about. Take away the funding from Planned Parenthood, and you're going to see women getting abortions in pet hospitals. And I don't know.
Maybe some, but that's on them. That's their choice. That's a choice. But murder is the wrong choice.
I don't know what you mean by sitting on the street eating noodles while your wife's inside having her soul removed.
That's exactly.
Okay, you want to laugh? Go ahead and laugh. I don't think it's funny.
I don't think it's funny either. I don't know what world you're talking about, and I tend to agree with Michael that you may be painting a picture, however gruesome, of something that is not quite the norm once this happens. Michael, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Larry Grover. So what is the solution then, Larry? You're saying that we need to...
Well, what we have to do is we've got to get on the phone to whatever bus company, Ray Nagin knows, because apparently the buses ain't Ray Nagin's strong suit, so we'll take them if he doesn't want them.
And what are you talking about, Ray Nagin?
Who's the guy that didn't use the buses during Katrina?
Will you get serious for a second here?
I'm talking about we need to get buses. The sooner the better. Get by and start busing women into areas of the city where we've got a fighting chance against whatever demons are called up by these coat hanger experts. I don't know whether they perform these abortions themselves or they call upon the black souls of oh, man. I can well imagine, like, they call upon the soul of some guy they knifed in a card fight, in a card game. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
You know what, Larry? Thank you very much.
Oh, so you're hanging up on me. Why? Because I'm a conservative?
No, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Calling up the black soul of someone they knifed in a card game. Whoa, man. Man, that... You know, whatever that man knows, I'd like him to print it up. I'd like to read up on it, and then I want to forget it, you know. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything. He's imagining things, man. I mean, this is what's the 90% of the problem we have in this country are people imagining things. Oh, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. If we don't do this, then this is going to happen, you know.
Yeah, but what about the whole thing about what he said?
What are you crying or something?
What are you crying about? About calling up the blackened soul because when we were in New Orleans, well, I forget when it was, but they said, you want blackened fish? And I said, yeah.
Blackened fish?
Yeah.
That ain't the same thing as the black soul.
No, he said blackened.
No, bud, no. You don't blacken someone's soul the way you do fish.
Jeez. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, we're going to be coming back here next hour. May God have mercy on my soul. I'm coming back with Bud and Robert for our news hour. The Wisconsin protests continue, and we'll talk about those in the news hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And our website is philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. So if you don't have a backstage pass, you haven't seen us performing our show this evening. It's always interesting, a lot of fun. So grab a backstage pass. Get on over to philhenryshow.com and get... join the family. Join the family. 877-876-7445. The Phil Henry Show.
You'll know. Someday you'll know.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
The minority party's demagoguery and demagoguing.
Some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder.
I was swarmed by three photographers and the field producer, Carrie Maller. They sat me down and
911, what's the location of your emergency?
My girlfriend is drunk.
I felt this girl going up my leg.
Yeah. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Radio for patriots by patriots, see? Because we go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. Forget it, man. Coming up this hour, Wisconsin and Democratic state senators remain in hiding. What a jive thing. What is that? What are you hiding for? And then we have a prophet. I know, because you don't want to handle the thing, so you're going to hide. Why don't you stand up like men and women, take the vote, be counted, you got your ass kicked, okay, whatever. This is not a game, you silly people. This is not a college prank. We're not in the fraternity. We're not eating goldfish or running around with our pants off in Las Vegas, which was what I had to do once.
You're kidding me.
Well, not really me, but my son. Now,
you make your son do that?
No, I didn't make my... What do you mean did I make my son do that? That was part of... He was rushing a fraternity at USC. Shows you how weird they are. This is not some party, man. This is not 1968 and we're taking over the chancellor's office there at Columbia. This isn't a wild and groovy thing on the Capitol Mall. You know, this isn't Forrest Gump. This is real, man. This is like as real as it gets. It's government. It's the will of the people. It is the way we do it in America, you know. I'm sorry you got outvoted. I'm sorry there's a Republican governor in charge there in Wisconsin. Whose fault is that? I know. When things don't go your way, why don't we concoct some conspiracy or some horrible raping of the public will or whatever it is that you do? You guys are so... Democrats, liberals, especially when the chips have been down here, and when I say the chips have been down, they've been down pretty heavy since the beginning of the century. And, of course, a lot of stuff coalesced around 9/11, but the economy itself was impacted not just by what was happening in the real estate market or with the banks or anything else. The economy was impacted by that day, 9/11. A lot of money flew out of the surplus to go to New York City, to go to the airline industry, to go to the tourist trade, to try to prop up here and there what we could when trillions of dollars were wiped out by that attack. Now, no one on that side of the conversation, liberals, they don't want to talk about that. Because if they do that, that means that's reality. You don't want to talk about reality, now do you?
Yeah, but I'm talking about reality, man, being a lady, you know, like ladies' rights.
Yeah, what about ladies' rights?
What do you mean, what about ladies' rights? What is that?
I mean women's rights. And
there's a lot of things that are reality, you know. There's a lot of things that are reality. Yeah, a hungry person, that's reality. Having to help that individual as opposed to having to right some other problems that may be bigger in the overall scheme, that's reality too, you know. Having to make some tough choices, that's reality too. You want to talk to me about how bad it is? I love these people that love to preach about how bad it can get. You don't know me. You don't know the people you're talking at about how bad it can get or what they've lived through or what they've seen. And we got a world full of experts and we have a country loaded with gurus and everybody in the world. In the words of Charles Bukowski, I think I quoted this the other day on the pre-show. Maybe I quoted it on the air. But the poet Charles Bukowski said, you know, God made a whole lot of poets. He just didn't make a lot of poetry. We got a whole lot of poets, man. If only we had more poetry. If only we had, in other words, more sense being spoken. What?
I don't understand about poetry. If what we're doing.
I'm making a... Get out of here before I start swinging on you, man.
What? What's that mean?
I'm making a... It's a comparison, you know. You know, I mean, we need a lot of we got a lot of wise men. We just don't have enough wisdom. How about that? Does that work?
Yeah, that I understand.
Jesus. So anyway, that's all coming up. And the Green River Killer pleads guilty to a 49th murder. 877-876-7445. I just did what I wasn't supposed to do, which is to go at a whole thing, and they tell me not to do that. I apologize. PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. Our video cast is up there right now. Get a video. Get a backstage pass.
You're going to start going like that lady. Yeah, Barry, you know.
But no, I did not.
Yeah, well, almost did.
What? No, I did not. Well, boy, you guys are weird.
No, you did. You almost went, like, get a backstage pass and a Barry, listen to it.
No, I ain't listening to nothing because I know I didn't go into some kind of a freak out. What are you guys talking about?
Sound like you almost went in that migraine that lady did. If you listen very carefully.
I had headaches throughout my life, but never really what I would have called.
That's what she did.
What are you talking about, man? All right, so go get a backstage pass at PhilHenryShow.com. Now, I should conclude my thought, though, but my thought is what I was talking about. It's Wisconsin. That's what we want to discuss. Wisconsin budget protests continue as absent Democrats maintain their boycott, and Nancy Pelosi's with them in solidarity. And so what are we talking about, Ms. Pelosi? What exactly are you guys talking about? Are you talking about undercutting the will of the people of Wisconsin? Are you talking about leaving a vote so a vote can't be taken because you're going to lose that vote? And why is that? Because there are more of the opposite party than you. And who put them there? Oh, my goodness, the electorate, the people. The people voted them into that building. They voted that governor into that building. But that's not good enough for you guys, is it? You're going to make some asinine stand, completely un-American, unpatriotic, obstructionist, ignorant, because you believe in unions. You know what? I believe in unions too, man. I think they're the greatest thing in the world. But brother, I got to step back and step aside if there is if there's another idea afoot.
You know, for a conservative, you're not supposed to believe in unions.
Nothing says conservatives can't believe in unions. What are you, an idiot? So there's nothing says that conservatives can't believe in unions at all. There's plenty of Republican union members and conservative union members. But I got to step back and step aside if the majority says, well, this is how it is. But we've got such children now in our country. I mean, the baby boomers. I've said this, and I'm grateful that a lot of people are concurring now, that we have this generation of overindulged, far better opinion of themselves than they are deserving to have, boomers and Gen Xers who now believe that regardless of what happens in this world, they must be heard, and quite frankly, people must go along with them. Am I right or am I wrong? Anybody disagree with me? I'd love to hear from people who want to tell me that this is somehow a absolutely correct move to make, leaving the Capitol, not taking the vote, not being involved in this vote, and just, you know, making their little stand, making their little pitch. You know, waving their little flag. On the run in Wisconsin, avoiding state troopers. I think that history will look upon you people as ridiculous, really. I think history will look upon you as people who were children and you couldn't face the music. You know what these Democrats remind me of? They remind me of kids that got to have a shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say they got to go to the dentist.
Yeah, they remind me of little children that have to go to the dentist, and they can get you run away. So you've run away from the dentist of history. You've run away from the vaccine of history. You've run away from that big hypodermic needle of, you know, the inexorable, this moment that must arrive where we have to decide which direction we're going in, and at least now, in the state of Wisconsin, they have made their decision. And you guys have decided to run out of the doctor's office and hide. Nancy Reich, a middle school band teacher, tells CNN that the unions don't have a voice.
52 years we've been out here, and now all of a sudden, Governor Scott Walker wants to say, forget it, no voice. We are not out here about the pay and the benefits. We are out here for our voice.
Well, 52 years is a pretty good run, honey. And I don't think anybody's taken your voice away from you. It's certain aspects of collective bargaining. Here is a blogger interviewed an unnamed protester outside the Capitol in Wisconsin. She compares the governor. Here we go. Here's a real brain surgeon. She compares Walker to Hitler.
One of Hitler's first acts.
Uh-huh. What was that? To outlaw trade unionism. Yes, we know.
One of Hitler's first acts was to take over labor unions.
Okay,
so that people could not organize.
So you're saying Scott Walker, Governor
That's
Walker
what he's
is
doing, is taking over
is
labor
Hitler?
Unions.
Okay, but I mean the little mustache, the Hitler mustache
like
on
Hitler.
Him.
Right, okay, so Walker's Hitler, Bush was Hitler, hey, Obama's Hitler too, Walker's, you know. Hitler, you know, I'm sorry that you ever lived, but the biggest reason why I'm sorry you ever lived is that you can't go, you won't go away, man. You are now the de facto, you know, effigy that everyone has to hold up because nobody knows how to read. They don't know anything else about this world. State Representative John Erpenbach. Anyway, he tells Shepard Smith on Fox Business Channel the Democrats won't return to work until the governor has a sit-down meeting with them to negotiate the changes they want in the bill.
You know, I would love to sleep in my own bed tonight. I'm afraid that's probably not going to happen. Again, this goes back to the governor.
So you're not going to answer how long it is you're willing to hold out here?
Well, we don't know. I mean, that's totally up to the governor.
Might you hold out for days? Might you hold out for weeks?
Shepard, again, that's up to the governor. When the governor is willing to sit down and really try and build consensus and take a look at the legislation and exactly how it affects Wisconsin and try and bring us together, then that's a great movement forward.
until then, you're going to subvert the democratic process. You guys are begging for some kind of an intervention by law enforcement. Is that? I mean, they got troopers out there looking for them. Here is Governor Scott Walker. He wants Democratic lawmakers back on the job.
I continue to work, and I'm calling on the members of the state Senate to show up and do the job that they're paid to do as well. They don't have to agree with everything we proposed, but they should, on behalf of the people who pay their salaries, show up to work. While what we're doing is a politically bold move, it is a modest request of our employees at the state and local level. Modest in the sense that what we're asking for is very similar, in many cases much better, than what the average taxpayer is getting all across the state of Wisconsin. We're asking for a 5.8% contribution to the pension system, which is essentially right at the national average for those who have pensions, and many of our workers in the state, particularly those in the middle class, do not.
So because there is no problem with what he's talking about, jobs, money, any of that stuff like that lady said, the problem is that you guys, you know, your lawmakers, Democrats, are not having their asses patted and their heads patted and their butts wiped. That's why you guys are out there? This is about Emily Post? Finally, here is President Obama weighing in on the controversy in an interview in Milwaukee on Milwaukee TV.
Some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder for public employees to collectively bargain generally, seems like more of an assault on unions. And I think it's very important for us to understand that public employees, they're our neighbors. They're our friends. These are folks who are teachers, and they're firefighters, and their social workers, and their police officers. You know, they make a lot of sacrifices and make a big contribution, and I think it's important not to vilify them or to suggest that somehow all these budget problems are due to public employees.
You got to tell those people to go back to work, Mr. President, you know. Forget about all that other nice stuff about unions. You got to tell those jackasses to go back to work. Not that they have to, not that that's your job, but you know, it's you carry a little bit of weight in that regard. So we'll find out what happens. I guess we got more stuff to talk about, but the more I talk about this stuff, the more I'm going to want to kill somebody.
Yeah, better move on.
Yeah. So anyway, we do have other things. Bad grades lands a teen on a street corner with a sign, his mom's making him hold up. And just some other news here. Obama has replaced the conscience regulation. Boy, there's a lot of dull-ass news once again. We'll get through it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. If anybody can make it interesting, I can.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, one of the things I want to find out, Bud.
I'm looking.
All right, but I want to find out, what is the story with this, we're not showing up for work? What does that mean when cops are out? I realize that probably 90% of the audience already has the answer.
Well, I'm looking as fast as I can.
You should have looked before we went on the air. What does it mean when these guys are out? Can they be compelled to come back by these cops? If cops are sent out, law enforcement officers, to find them, then what law is being broken and what is the penalty? And then finally, why can't they go ahead and vote without them being there? As senators consider ways to bring missing Democrats back to the chamber, a look at the state constitution is in order. The constitution doesn't provide a lot of details, but it does say lawmakers may compel the attendance of absent members in such a manner and under such penalties as each house may provide. Under the Senate rules, Sergeant-at-Arm Ted Blaisdell can carry out those duties, said Senate Chief Clerk Rob Marchant. We are researching the extent to which law enforcement can be involved. Merchant said Blaisdell said he checked all Senate offices for Democratic members as instructed. Have you ever seen in your life a more balled-up system? The rules of the Senate state they need one minority party member to be present for a vote. You got the most jacked-up system I've ever heard of. And guess I better not speak too soon, because we probably got the same thing in California. In fact, for all I know, it's in all 50 states. And wherever you are listening to this show tonight, I suggest, and I'm being very serious now, I suggest you look into your state law and find out exactly what the law is in your state if this kind of crap goes down in your state. Ohio, I think there's some, you know, there are problems in Ohio and elsewhere. They have to have one member of the minority party. Great. They can't find one. They're trying to get cops involved, but they can only involve them up to a certain point. If they go out of state, then obviously they can't use their Wisconsin cops. They're having to look into the law because this is the most jacked up stuff I've ever seen in my life. Republican leaders said police are searching for the 14 truant lawmakers, but lawyers said police in Illinois, where several of the senators are believed to be during their boycott, or other locations outside of Wisconsin, do not have the legal authority to detain the legislators, according to the Milwaukee Journal. Cops in other places can't just pick people up and haul them across state lines. No, we understand that, counselor. We're talking about if they're still in the state. All right, so this is what's going on, and a lot of you guys, as I said, may be asking, or you may already know, but the law is fuzzy to the extent of how do they compel these guys to come back? Can they swear out a warrant for the arrest of these people? And, of course, you throw them in jail, and now what are you doing, man? Now you're making them into just the martyrs that they want to be. I mean, because, like I said, these guys are dealing with this like it's a happy fizzies party, man. They're dealing with it like, you know, fist in the air and go Haber College, you know. We won't let them take our beer night away. 877-877-6744-5. I think Frankie Muniz deserves more of our time, don't you?
Well, it is very interesting.
Frankie Muniz, the former actor in Malcolm in the Middle, made a 911 call in which he made the statement, "I'm a celebrity." It's kind of funny. The incident's not that funny. His girlfriend was throwing $10,000 pieces of art around their home in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was flipping his lid. So let's listen. Malcolm in the Middle actor Frankie Muniz calls 911 to report his out-of-control girlfriend.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
My girlfriend is drunk and she's going crazy.
Okay.
She's crashing my house. Literally, lamps, everything. And she's going crazy. She's hitting me in the face. I don't know what to do because I'm about to lose control.
Okay.
I'm trying.
Are you in a house or an apartment, sir?
I'm in my house. I don't want there to be a big problem.
Okay, I'm going to get off the phone. What's your name, sir?
I can't even have my cross.
What is your name, sir? Tell me your name.
I don't want to make a big deal because I'm a celebrity. I don't want there to be a big deal.
He's a celebrity. Hear the girlfriend go, "Oh my God." I don't know, this bitch is, this girlfriend is Alicia Turnbow.
Okay. I don't want any charges. I just want her to stop
that's
throwing
fine.
Stuff.
We're going
to
come out and help you with that.
I don't want to make a big deal, please.
What color clothing does she have on?
I actually don't want you guys to come out. I just need, can you talk to her and tell her to calm down?
I can't cancel this call, sir. What is your name? What's your first name?
Babe, you just damaged the house. You're still damaging it. Just leave it where it is, babe. I did not hit you. You punch me in the face, you're sleeping.
Sir?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is your first name?
My name is Tracy Yunus.
Never heard of you, sir. Anyway, right there, that's the state of America, you know. Could you please come and help me, but please don't. I don't want to tell you where I am. That's America, right? That, you know, that's the all of the voices of America. If you put them into one 911 call, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarian, all put them into one 911 call. There it is. My house is being damaged, but don't come out and don't help me. But please tell me what I can do to help me. But my name's Frankie, but I don't want to tell you my name. And my girlfriend is trapped. Please, God, help me, please, but don't come here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Isn't that what you said, Frankie?
I don't want any charges.
All right, okay, I understand.
Phil Hendry.
I got you.
Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Time, Iron Swine. Iron Swine got a 911 call from a kid. Here's Iron Swine. 911, Iron Swine.
Yeah, man. You know, my house, my girlfriend's beating the hell out of me. She's beating the living hell out of me, man. Where you at? I don't know.
know. I don't want to tell you, man, but please get here. I can't tell you, but please get to my house now. My girlfriend beat hell out of me. She took a tip. I don't know what I do. Where, who are you? What's your name? I can't tell you. I'm a celebrity. I cannot tell you. I will not tell you. I'll never tell you. What's your name? Frankie Muniz. Never heard of you.
That's Iron Swine, brought to you by...
L.A. County Museum of Art. How's that?
Yeah, it's good.
Never heard of you.
Never heard of him.
All right, man. Thanks, bud.
You messed it up.
I didn't mess up nothing, man. I did everything right. You're the one that messed it up. I'm supposed to say I'm Frankie Muniz, and you're supposed to say you ain't Justin Burfield?
No, I didn't. You're supposed to say Jane Kazmierzgik.
Jane Kazmierzgik? What? You know, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it wasn't good enough.
It was fine, man. What do you guys think you're doing, Shakespeare? It was fine. All right, speaking of Wisconsin and what's going on in the state of Wisconsin and what we've all known the state of Wisconsin for, the Green River Killer pleads guilty to a 49th murder. Now.
You're talking about Ed Gein.
No, I'm not talking about Ed Gein, but frankly, when it comes to Wisconsin, that's what I really know Wisconsin for, cheese and psycho. Anyway, Green River Killer Gary Ridgway, you know about him, right?
Yeah, that's the guy, he's supposed to be the biggest serial killer of them all.
Apparently, Gary Ridgway may hold the record, and it's a gruesome, grisly record to hold, as a serial murderer. He may hold the record of the most people killed. This is a 49th murder victim. Some people think there's more, but in any event, Green River Killer Gary Ridgway pled guilty on Friday to the 1982 aggravated murder of a woman whose body was found in Auburn late last year. This is now the 49th victim of this psychopath, Gary Ridgway, who is in custody. And in exchange for his life, Gary Ridgway agreed to cooperate with authorities, answer any questions they had, lead them to any crime scene and crime site that he could remember, and basically just be an open book for any and all investigations that they might be involved in, and any and all questions they may have about Gary Ridgway and how this, what makes this guy tick. And he said yes to that deal, and that's the deal he has. And, you know, ordinarily, I think psychopaths should just be dropped right down a hole. I mean, to me, if the guy is a killer like a Ridgway, a psychopathic killer, no conscience, knows right from wrong.
You said wrong.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, it sounded funny, right from wrong.
Yeah, it's like saying, I know Gary Wright, but I...
You guys shut up and let me finish. Gary Wright.
No, Gary Wong.
Yeah. Ridgway was transported from the Washington State Penitentiary in Walla Walla to the Regional Justice Center in Kent, where he appeared in court at 1:30, and this was today, or I should say yesterday, Friday, to answer the charge that he strangled Rebecca Becky Marrero. Ridgway was sentenced to another life sentence for Marrero's murder. He's already serving 48 consecutive life sentences for the other murders.
What's that mean?
It means, as ridiculous as it sounds, 48 consecutive means 48 on top of. Okay.
There's no way you're going to be living that long.
They know that, man. But that's what it is. That's a life sentence.
Yeah, in other words, concurrent would be, and there are sentences that are concurrent mean at the same time. But for Gary Ridgway, the nature, it's a basic way of saying... You ain't ever, 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 never, ever, never, never, ever, ever getting out. So just kiss it goodbye, friend. Marrero's remains were found in December, nearly 30 years after she disappeared. Prosecutors said the murder took place on or about December the 3rd, 1982, the date she was last seen leaving a hotel room at South 168th Street and the Pacific Highway South. Ridgway was in court. We have audio of Gary Ridgway making this plea. He pleads guilty to charges read to him by the prosecutor, Dan Satterberg.
In charge of one count of aggravated murder in the first degree.
Yes.
Do you understand the elements of that crime? That you, in King County, Washington, on or about December 3rd, 1982, with premeditated intent to cause the death of another person, did cause the death of Rebecca Marrero, a human being, who died on or about December 3rd, 1982. Do you understand those are the elements of this crime?
Yes.
Do you understand that the state's alleged an aggravating circumstance, that there was more than one victim, and this murder and the other murders were part of a common scheme or plan? Do you understand the aggravating circumstance that's been alleged?
Yes.
How do you plead to the crime that's been charged?
Guilty.
And Ridgway has pled guilty to, I believe, all of these murders that he's been charged with, and they mention aggravating, an aggravating stance is, I think, the word. Anyway, that's because it was part of an overall series of murders, and the nature of this series of murders is so horrific that it has that aggravating aspect to it. Anyway. Mary Marrero said her family was finally able to put Marrero to rest on February the 5th after her remains were found in December of 2010. Now, this young lady's name what was this child's name?
Her name's Becky.
Okay, Mary Marrero is her sister. Excuse me, folks. Mary Marrero spoke in court about the loss of her sister and the effect it had on herself and the victim's daughter. The day she came up missing, I wanted to kill myself, said Mary Marrero. It's been a long 29 years wondering every day what happened. She said her family was able to put Marrero to rest on the 5th after her remains were found in December of 2010. Then she expressed anger that Ridgway was allowed to live. What does it take to get the death penalty in Washington? I don't agree with the plea deal to spare his pathetic life, said the victim's sister. The irony is they never would have found your sister, ma'am, with all due respect to her, and she's entitled to her anger. They never would have found her had they not spared Gary Ridgway's life. But maybe at the end of the day, she doesn't care.
I mean, now she cares. She's glad that they have her, but she probably would have been more preferred that he died, you know?
I don't know. Anyway, she said Ridgway knows where every one of his victims are and what he did to them. He's worthless. He's not going to give. And he's not going to give any more up. He is a waste of society and a waste of space. If I had one more thing to tell you today, it would be kill him, said Mary Marrero. The victim's 79-year-old mother also appeared in court but did not speak. Ridgway cut a deal with prosecutors in 2003. This is what I was telling you about. And he received a life sentence in exchange for pleading guilty to the murders of 48 other women. The King County Sheriff's Office said Ridgway was questioned extensively in 2003 about Marrero's disappearance. Prosecutor Dan Satterberg said that Ridgway had confessed to killing Marrero in 2003. Her remains had not been found, and Ridgway was unable to provide sufficient details to charge him with her murder. Now, the thing about Gary Ridgway is that they caught him with DNA that they got off of him in the 80s.
Yeah, they went to his house in the 80s.
Why they knew he did it in the 80s? What?
They didn't know he did it in the 80s, but he was a person of substantial interest. Let's put it that way. And they did not have any physical evidence, but they saw his truck, and there was a similar truck spotted where one of these women went missing. His home was in the general vicinity. And I saw a fascinating show the other night on TV where they interviewed, and you know, you rarely see this, but this was a show on Investigation Discovery called Who the Hell Did I Marry or Who the Bleep Did I Marry? You know that one?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Did you see that they talked to Gary Ridgway's wife?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah. And it was very interesting because, like I said, you never see the spouse of these guys, and this woman is saying, and the friends said, Gary and, I forget this lady, and his wife, they had a marriage that we all envied.
Are you kidding me, man? This guy killed like 50 women.
I swear to God, that's the whole thing about psychopaths, man. They can put it on for you. They had a marriage that everybody envied, and they were just in love, and she loved the hell out of him. She thought he was the greatest thing in the world, and, you know, and they had kids. And anyway, one day she's at work. And what's her name? Reneka? What the hell kind of name is that? Reneka.
Probably misspelled it.
Yeah, thank you. Rebecca. So anyway, what do you mean Rebecca was the wife? That's the name of this woman that was killed. You better have that name right, man.
I'm going to double check.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, she said, I'm sitting there at work one day, and all of a sudden these three big guys show up. Big guys, all in suits, And she realizes they've got to be cops, and they were, and they said, well, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. Ridgway, I guess, can we please talk to you? And she said it blew her mind because they wanted to search the house, and they wanted to talk to her husband. So they did, but this was way back in 1987. She'd only been married 2 years, and they got DNA off of Gary Ridgway by way of a saliva swab. Now, the cops that investigated the Green River killings were very thorough. They held on to all the evidence. They didn't get rid of any evidence. They kept everything, including these DNA samples.
That thing got him, too.
The DNA is what sunk him, man. And if they hadn't had that swab, that saliva swab that they got from Gary Ridgway in 1987, they never would have caught this guy, man.
But they had DNA off the crime scene?
They had DNA evidence from the crime scene, yeah. They absolutely had DNA evidence from the from crime scenes. Otherwise, the DNA that they got off of Gary Ridgway wasn't going to do them any good. So there you go, man. That's the story there, the Green River Killer. And I think it's interesting what she said. And, the lady, the sister, you know.
Yeah, well, she wanted, like you were saying, she wanted to kill her or kill the guy.
Right. And I don't blame her, man. And I'm death penalty all the way, me. You know.
Yeah, I know, man.
Yeah, and what do you think about that?
Well, you know how I feel about it. I don't think it's right.
Well, really? Okay. Well, I'm not going to argue it. I'm death penalty all the way, baby, all the way. Unless there is some reason that the cops can give me that keeping this guy alive is going to benefit them, and in this instance. They did, and I think it was worth it. And this woman, however righteous her anger, and I agree, they never would have found her sister had they not kept this guy, this Ridgway, alive. So there you go. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back for our final segment here tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night, our video cast right on our website of our local Los Angeles show, KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles. So if you... if you're not in the city of L.A. or you can't hear the broadcast, you can watch it on our videocast, philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, probably this will be the final installment of our Serena Branson reporting, but it's interesting to us. Just the whole, episode of Serena Branson, the Channel 2 reporter,
Yeah, let's go, Barry.
Yeah, we know, bud, and you don't have to start mocking her and using me as an example.
You know, it did sound like you were having, like a speech impediment.
Are you kidding me, man?
No, it did.
When?
Well, you went like, and don't forget our website, Barry, okay, detergent or something.
What the? You guys are either high on some new weed that I can't smell, or you're joking.
No, it sounded that way.
Okay, well, get your hearing checked, man, because I don't agree with you. Now,
yeah, but how would you know?
Hey, I'm all done talking about it. Thank you. TV reporter speaks about speech problem at Grammys. A TV reporter who lapsed into gibberish during a live shot outside the Grammys said she was terrified when it happened and knew something was wrong as soon as she opened her mouth.
Well, a very, very heavy debutation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Tarrison, let's go to the head of the pit.
It sounds like she said, let's go ahead and tase Tara,
Yeah, I think that's what she wanted to do.
Tase Tara. All right, now, I found out that what she was trying to say was, what was it, Jason? Lady Antebellum swept the Grammys. Now, there's nothing in what she's saying here, even though she says very, very, she says the word well, and she says tonight, and she says we had. That all came out right.
Well, a very, very heavy debutation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Tara, and let's have the pet.
Let's go ahead and tase Tara, and then we'll have the pet.
Yeah.
All right, now, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to make fun, young lady, if you're listening. On CBS News, the early show, Branson is asked how it feels to see the video of her speaking this gibberish.
I've seen it a couple times now. It's still
chicken crap.
Troubling to see because I know what was going through my mind at that time. Yeah. I was terrified. I was scared. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. Well, I knew something wasn't right as soon as I opened my mouth. I hadn't been feeling well a little bit before the live shot. I had a headache. My vision was very blurry. I knew something wasn't right, but I just thought I was tired. So when I opened my mouth, I thought, this is more than just being tired. Something is terribly wrong. I wanted to say Lady Antebellum swept the Grammys, and I could think of the words, but I could not. They weren't coming out properly.
Wow. So that's what she wanted to say. Now, here, Branson describes what happened when her live shot ended.
I was swarmed by three photographers and the field producer, Carrie Maller. They sat me down immediately. I dropped the microphone. Right after that, my cheek went numb. My hand went numb. My right hand went numb. And I started to cry. I was scared. I didn't know what had gone on, and I was embarrassed and fearful.
Poor kid. Branson talks about her diagnosis.
I've had headaches throughout my life, but never really what I would have called a migraine. And the doctor ran lots of tests. I saw some of the best doctors in the world, top neurologists and cardiologists. They ran tests for 3 days. I was there for 9 hours Monday, back for 9 hours the next day. And finally, they diagnosed me with migraine aura.
You know, when the vision thing goes, you know.
Hey,
what?
Rick Sanchez.
Well, a very, very heavy.
Okay, that one and then this one.
Blah, 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 blah. Will you get out of here with Rick Sanchez? Anyway.
They are talking about blurry vision.
Blurry vision, yeah, is a migraine thing, man. Blurry vision's a migraine thing. And as I said to you guys last night, I had a friend of mine who was talking to me one day. Says, geez, you know, he says, I was blind. I went blind. I didn't tell you, man. I lost my vision the other day. I said, what the hell are you talking about? He says, I went to the doctor. I couldn't see. Couldn't see.
He had a migraine headache?
Had a migraine. Not. And again, people don't understand that migraines don't necessarily have to be painful, you know.
Well, that'd be painful, though. You're standing there 1 minute, and the next minute.
Well, a very, very heavy.
That's painful.
If you are you making jokes again, man? Because you're gonna, you'll pay. So she's doing okay now, and that's good to know. All right, David Martin was in the mood for raw fish. Now this one I can't figure out for love or money. We'll leave this for you guys to figure out over the weekend. Okay, David Martin was in the mood for raw fish, and he liked the deal offered by a Studio City sushi restaurant, all you can eat for $28. Now let's forget about a place that offers fish all you can eat for $28. I wouldn't go near it, but that's you know. He took a seat at the counter, he started ordering, but it turned out Mr. Martin didn't really want sushi, which includes rice. He wanted the all-you-can-eat sashimi, which is just fish. So he began, what did he do? He picked the seafood off the top and he left the rice. Sound okay to do? Sounds okay to me. But the restaurant owner, J.O., told Martin that if he wanted the all-you-can-eat price, he'd have to eat the rice too, and not just fill up on fish. Martin replied that he has diabetes and he can't eat rice, but he did want the all-you-can-eat sushi. Oh said he offered to prepare sashimi for Martin. Two orders of sashimi, though, cost $25 or $3 less than the all-you-can-eat sushi deal. But Oh said Martin declined the offer. Martin left the restaurant after being charged a la carte prices for the sushi that he'd already ordered, plus a dollar for a cup of green tea. 2 weeks later, what do you think he did? He filed a lawsuit in the Los Angeles County Superior Court, at least $4,000 in damages for humiliation, embarrassment, and mental anguish. He says he suffered after being discriminated against on the basis of his disability, that is, having a diabetes. And because he has diabetes, he's not allowed to eat the sushi that you and I are allowed to eat. He didn't get the all-you-can-eat price. He got stuck. He got screwed. He got,
Well, a very, very heavy, heavy dissertation.
That's what happened when he ate the sushi. That's what happens when you eat at that guy's restaurant. So consider yourself lucky there, David. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Rick Johnson, and of course, our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., watch the video cast of our KFI show. Yes, it's radio for patriots by patriots, the world famous Phil Henry Show, right wing radio. God love you, baby. We'll see you on Monday night.
Blah, 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 blah.
Well, a very, very heavy, heavy dissertation.
Chicken crap.